This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is Fist Pump Hour here on Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. No Sean Sharif today. It's Bobby Belt alongside RJ Choppy, Peyton Russell on the board. Ryan Couture back there working the video. We are expecting to be joined momentarily by Chuma Edoga, Cowboys' new offensive lineman, just signed earlier this week. Interested to find out what it is that the plans are for him here in Dallas, why Dallas was the right fit for him. And Choppy, as always, has some get-to-know-you questions for him that we'll be able to cycle through. So hopefully we get Chuma to call in here momentarily. Until then, let's run through some of the headlines for the Cowboys. Tony Pollard has signed his franchise tender. He is officially back with Dallas for 2023. They still have until July 17th to work out a long-term deal. If they don't, then he's going to make a little over $10 million this year, which puts him in by far the upper quartile of the upper quartile.
Well, I love being in that upper quartile
of
the upper quartile.
Free agent running backs this offseason. And I know you had said, why sign it? Like why say? My thought is, did he get any sort of, uneasiness, any shakiness, thinking, boy, looking at what the running back market's getting right now, maybe the Cowboys would pull the tag. And I'm not saying I heard this or that they were going to. It just made me wonder if that was the urgency for him to make that.
Man, let me tell you something. If the Cowboys did that, you want to talk about a bad look. Awful look if you pull a franchise tag because you're seeing them, because your own people misjudge the market and you're seeing it change. You want to talk about an awful look? That's it right there.
The last time that a player had the tag pulled that I can remember, because you remember Carolina did it with Josh Norman, where Norman got tagged after the Super Bowl year. He had that breakout year in 2015 with the Panthers. They tagged him. Negotiations just didn't move the way they wanted him to. And so they just flat out pulled the tag in, I think it was like May or June. It was late in the process. And then that's how he ended up in, I believe it was Washington, because they went ahead and pulled the tag. So it's not totally unprecedented, but I think it's usually for more contentious negotiations than I would guess this Pollard one is going. But maybe that was it. Maybe they just looked at it. A look at the running backs that have signed this offseason, Chop. This is just on average annual value. Miles Sanders, 6.25, 4 years, $25 million. David Montgomery, $6 million, 3 for 18. Then you get to Jamal Williams, 3 for 12, which is 4 annually. They are running backs are just not getting paid.
Well, I think there's a shift. Obviously, we've seen.
I thought they banned the shift.
They did. Good reference, by the way.
Thank you.
There's a shift we've seen for one, but the other thing is, who's the legendary running back on the market anyway?
Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah. Like, there's no. Adrian Peterson's not a free agent.
But Miles Sanders is a better player than.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Than Tony Pollard, wouldn't you think?
I absolutely.
And Miles Sanders getting
$6 million
compared to $10 million that Pollard's going to play on.
Yeah. But the point is that, the reason I think none of these free agent deals are going to be any big or haven't been very big from the running back position is twofold. One, obviously the devaluing of the position, but also there is not a great running back on the market.
That's true.
Like, this is not Zeke in his prime. This is not Saquon in his. This is not Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry a couple years ago got a lot more money.
Which, if that's the case, why tag then?
Exactly.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
There you go. I've been saying that. Why tag this guy? He ain't going to get...
Would you rather... But, like, let's say you lock into... David Montgomery gets 3 for $18 million. Would you rather lock yourself into $18 million for 3 years on Pollard or just the one-year franchise tag and walk away next year? So it costs you significantly more this year, but you're not locked in for 3 years.
Oh, yeah. I would rather do that than the 3 for $18 million because I don't want him on my cap for... like. So there's nothing... So after this year, let's just say it says like this. They walk away, they have zero dead cap for Tony Pollard.
Yes.
So it's nothing.
Yep.
And that's, to me,
it's a one shot.
You won't be able to walk away from it. Walk away, have no liabilities on your ledger, and let's go.
The other headline relating to the Cowboys and running backs is a running back who's not even here with the Cowboys anymore. But it's still something that's of interest to a lot of Cowboys fans, particularly because of one team that's involved here, or that I guess they'd like to be involved. This from ESPN yesterday, Adam Schefter. Former Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott has narrowed down his options about where to play in 2023 to the Jets, the Bengals, and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm.
Now, there may be a little bit of a factor here of, you know, unrequited love. There's a little bit of that. I don't know how much this is being reciprocated, because you had Zach Taylor yesterday, the head coach for the Bengals, getting interviewed up by the local ABC affiliate there in Cincinnati, and Taylor had said that this is news to me, this is the first I've heard of it, we like our guys, mm-hmm. A lot of good players out there, but it's funny, sometimes the first you hear of any interaction like this is when you get asked about it, and this is one of those times. So it's like, okay, well, Cincinnati doesn't sound quite it. And then you get Josh Clark, very plugged in, NBC Sports Philadelphia, very plugged in with the Eagles beat. And he says that, I'm told as of right now, the Eagles have not engaged in conversations with Ezekiel Elliott about joining the team and are happy with the running backs they have right now. Seems the Eagles, Bengals, Jets are a wish list for Ezekiel Elliott and where he would like to play. So here's my question. Is this misdirection by the teams, whatever else? Or is Zeke doing the Odell Beckham Jr. bit?
Where he's making a market that
doesn't
exist.
Generating a market that doesn't exist.
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I'm sure that he has maybe talked to somebody, or his people have talked to somebody in those organizations. Doesn't mean they want him.
Yeah. Now he's
going to create. Like some of the best marketers create the market.
What is his market? Like if we're just talking about market value, what would you, like when we hear what those players go for,
Jamal what is his
Williams,
market?
In terms of, what would you think his contract
value? What did Jamal Williams get?
Jamal Williams was 3 for $12 million, so $4 million a year.
Man, if I was the Lions, I'd have kept him instead of David Montgomery.
For cheaper. Yeah, I mean, it's $2 million cheaper.
Yeah, and I think Jamal's just as good a
player.
But
what, Zeke's going to probably end up playing? I would guess when Zeke finally signs a deal, we're probably looking at 2 for $6 million.
Yeah, I think Zeke's going to get a one-year. I think he's going to sign a one-year deal.
Can you afford to do that as a running back, though?
No.
These prove-its when you're that age
that
workload?
I'm just saying, he may just be forced to. He may be forced to sign a one-year deal. Maybe two. Yeah, maybe 2 for $6 million, 2 for $5 million. But it's low. I don't think there's much of a market. I mean, how much is there of a market can there be for a running back at, 27?
He does it all, Chad.
Yeah, he does it all. He does it all except get 4 yards of carry. Who had just had his worst year. The league has seen that he has nothing left in his legs. 3.8 a carry. He's basically a goal line back.
A moderately efficient one, according to the numbers.
Like, it is.
About league average. 214, Zeke would have been way better with another organization from the jump. I mean,
he was pretty darn good here.
Well, and what do you mean by way better? Like his ability, or like would be in a way better position? Because not necessarily. The guy collected $67 million. Cash over his time here in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to be terrible or be underperform for $67 million or whatever you want to call it. Whatever that guy thinks Zeke didn't do here, where he'd be better off somewhere else.
Yeah, I said, I don't know if that's about, but either way, I don't know how accurate that is. If it's about performance or if he just means his career would be in a better place because he wouldn't have gotten used up the way he did here in Dallas. All right, fine. You could probably say that. 682, this is Zeke not yet realizing that he thinks way higher of himself than everyone else does. Look, the market will humble people. The market's done that to people before. I think he's not a free agent, but I think right now that's what is occurring a little bit with DeAndre Hopkins, that he's realizing there's not the clamoring. I think Odell Beckham Jr. Mm-hmm. is realizing that right now. So that's the case with a lot of people. Now, here's the interesting one, and this is jumping back a little bit here. Somebody's trying to fight us, Chop.
Who?
817, and they're talking more about me, I think.
Okay.
How the F is Miles Sanders better than Pollard? That's the dumbest thing you've said all day, and that's saying a lot. Miles Sanders has been incredibly efficient his entire career, has shown, at least to me, I think, a better consistency when he's asked to run all three downs. There were times last year you saw with Pollard where, what was it? There was in the December, like I think it was against Jacksonville or whatever, one of those games, he had like 10 for 19 and things like that. The biggest thing with Miles Sanders is just it's something that we talked about a little bit with Pollard here. They didn't use him very much. His final two games of last year, against Philadelphia, 9 for 19, against Washington, 7 for 19. There's a little bit of, it's not quite the Barry Sanders, hit a wall, boom, gone for 70. But there's a little bit with Pollard of not quite being consistently picking up 4 to 5 to 6 yards. I do think that's Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders generally, I think, is pretty consistently 5, 6, always falling forward, tough runner, you know, really well-rounded.
I mean, they're both good players, but I mean, Miles Sanders has shown that he can be the lead feature back. He just has.
214. Ezekiel Elliott needs to go to a new football league like USFL or the XFL and be a star. Now, Peyton, how great would that be for you?
Oh, yeah, you'd love that.
Then you really would be wearing the proper jersey to Renegades games. You wouldn't.
The authentic jersey, by the way, $120 at the Cowboys Pro Shop when I bought it.
By the way, do you know what I come down on the position. I always thought it was dumb to burn jerseys. I still think it's dumb. Agreed? Burning a jersey.
Yes, so dumb.
I mean, if you want the views and stuff on social media, then, I mean, you can do it, but...
Here's where I have an even bigger problem than burning the jersey. I would rather you burn a jersey 10 times out of 10 than... Chop, have you seen this new social media craze where they lay down the jersey mm-hmm. and they get the lighter out, and then instead of the lighter, they close it, and then they drop a note on it that says, thank you, 21, or something like that.
That's what I need to do.
Where it's like, I'm going to look like I'm going to burn it, but no, thank you. Nothing but thankfulness.
Nothing but love. I'm like, nothing but thankfulness.
That is so
cheesy.
Incredibly soft.
Well, what about the
and
ones?
Social media fan grandstanding, that's worse to me than somebody who would burn a jersey. At least there's genuine passion behind burning the jersey.
There's no passion behind burning a jersey.
I think there is.
They're angry.
You're trying to get your clout up on the gram.
What about the ones that put the duct tape on the back and they like spell someone else's name out of it?
That I like.
I think that's funny. Like, that's just funny. Like, if you get a...
The Browns jersey where they had all the quarterbacks?
Yeah.
That was good. You just had all the quarterbacks listed on there? I thought that was pretty funny. That was clever.
I'm a big fan of the taped up jersey and of like adjusting a jersey for a bit or whatever else. I think that's great. But yeah, burning a jersey's dumb to me. But I think what's worse is the look, I'm gonna fake like I'm gonna do it, but now I'm gonna get all the people who recognize I'm a good fan to retweet me and just thank you. There's always one or two fans on social media every time a big player that gets cut that will do that, and they get a million retweets, and it's stupid and I hate it. And that's just the way that I feel about it.
That's what you feel.
Coming up next, we're less than 1 week away. By the way, Chuma Edoga never called in. So I don't know. We'll try to reschedule for Monday. We're less than 1 week away from opening day for your Texas Rangers. A lot of new changes, not only to the Rangers, but to the game of Major League Baseball in general. Let's talk about it with Texas Rangers lead TV color analyst CJ Nitkowski. That's next here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Thank you, Peyton. Back here on Sean and RJ on 105 through the Fan, Sean Sharif out today. So you got Bobby Belt, RJ Choppy, of course, Peyton Russell, who you just heard there. And then back there on the video, we've got Ryan Cotrere. We are going to now talk a little bit of Major League Baseball. Rangers opening day is less than a week away. Big weekend, man. Like we got opening day for the Rangers, and then I believe the Saturday game will be on Fox, and then the Sunday game is going to be on ESPN for Sunday Night Baseball. So Rangers getting a lot of shine after two off seasons of a lot of big moves. We'll get the thoughts of CJ Nitkowski here on those moves and a number of the other changes here with Major League Baseball. CJ, of course, a former top 10 pick MLB pitcher, including for the Rangers. He is now the Texas Rangers lead TV color analyst, with additional play-by-play games and co-host of Loud Outs on MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM. You can follow him on Twitter at CJ Nitkowski. CJ, how you doing?
Bobby, RJ, I'm doing great, man. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful. I got to ask, because I know it was an ongoing bit with our station when we were out there. They'd ask the guys in the clubhouse, like, hey, what do you have to say to Jared Sandler? And they would all just tee off on him. So I'm just curious, is there anything you want to pass on to Jared Sandler? Anything about how short he is? His temper being as short as his height.
Two height jokes. Why are you going for shoe size now?
I run out of them after a while. But CJ, anything you'd like to say to good old Jared Sandler?
Yeah, tell him just to exhale and relax. That's a great time, man. We love him so much. He's fantastic. I feel grateful to have gotten to know him over these last, now I guess, going on year 7. He's so passionate about what he does, and we have great conversations both on and off the air, and we are very lucky to have him. And, in a weird turn of events, certainly not what anybody was hoping for, but we're going to get to hear him some more on the radio with Eric taking a little bit of time for himself as he gets healthy. And so Ranger fans are lucky they're going to hear him a lot more this year.
Absolutely. He's very good. He's very good. He's very short, like we said. CJ, what were your thoughts? You know, the World Baseball Classic seemed to be a huge success this time around. I mean, it's something that's been growing in popularity the last several times it's been done, but it really seemed to take off this time, and everybody got really invested in it. It seemed to be more of a TV hit than it has been at any other point. What were your general takeaways on the World Baseball Classic? And I guess specifically, I'm curious, your thoughts on how we had several of these players sustain injuries in it and that, how you weigh that as an organization.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. The Rangers were pretty fortunate that they only had a handful of players that participated and everybody got back and they were healthy. As far as the success of the WBC, I think a couple of things. One, we haven't had it in 6 years. You know, it was set up originally to be every three, but we haven't had one since 2017. And as somebody who was fortunate enough to experience some international baseball in Korea and Japan and the Dominican Republic, it's one of the greatest gifts to baseball fans, but even to baseball players, to play with players from around the world, but then to bring that here in the WBC, and our fans get to see how other fans watch the game. Right? You see these atmospheres that are going on, that were in Miami, that were in Phoenix, when you get the Latin American countries, but then also the countries from Asia. It's a different kind of feel. I tell people all the time, just from playing overseas, it has a little bit more of an international soccer feel. And I think the excitement surrounding that, then you put on top of it pride of country for all of these countries. They want to be the ones standing there at the end. And we get a guy like Mike Trout, who's captain of Team USA, showing some pretty incredible emotion that we don't see from him all the time by playing for the Angels. And they've struggled to get to the postseason, so they haven't played that many meaningful games over the course of his career. And then that ending, it was so ridiculous. Like, you could not have come up with a better ending on paper. Rob Manfred must have been beside himself watching Shohei Ohtani face Mike Trout to finish things off between Team Japan and Team USA. And, of course, he struck him out. So they did, and he ends up winning. And Team Japan ends up winning a third WBC in 5 years, or the five that we've had. But I think there's a real appetite for it. I asked my team fellows yesterday. I said, man, if you had your choice of throwing a complete game shutout in the WBC final or Game 7 of the World Series, you know, which one would you take? And I know it's tough to compare, but I'm just kind of curious for a guy like him and all the pride from Team Venezuela that they have. He goes, man, I'll take five innings of one and four innings of the other. Like, he couldn't answer it. And I understand why he couldn't answer it, but that's how much it means to these guys. It was great television. I think it's really good for the growth of the game, which we need very badly. The injuries are brutal. Jose Altuve is going to miss a couple of months. Edwin Diaz closing for the New York Mets is going to miss the whole year. It's awful. Nobody wants to see that, especially with Diaz getting hurt in a celebration. So that part really stinks. There's nothing you can do about it. It's the risk that you take, and guys make decisions of whether or not they want to play. And we've seen enough of it. You can get hurt not playing in the WBC.
Yeah, we see that all the time. Why do you think it seems like this had more interest than the one in 27? It just seems like this one was way more watched, consumed, attended. It's just because it's, you know, we're further down the line. We've had five of them now.
I guess it's a good question, man, because you're right. And, you know, what was so special about this one compared to others? Perhaps it was more attention on it. Perhaps it was the fact that we have more stars coming from these countries. The fact that Shohei Ohtani was playing in it, quite honestly, that Mike Trout was playing in it. We had tons of big guys. We didn't have maybe our best pitchers for Team USA, the top guys. Obviously, Jacob DeGrom here with the Rangers first year, of course, wants to go through camp, doesn't want to miss time. You know, Nate Eovaldi actually wanted to participate in the WBC, but part of it is also insurance, right? They're going to be insured not necessarily by the team, but by the league in the WBC. And in the case of Edwin Diaz, as an example, the Mets are not paying his salary this year. It's going to be Major League Baseball paying his nearly $20 million salary because he got hurt in the WBC. So we didn't get the best of the best, but we got some pretty good ones. So I think there was probably that part of it as well, that Team USA lineup was absurd. When you have Trey Turner batting ninth, and a guy who ends up hitting five home runs in the tournament and setting a record, I think that had something to do with it. But, you know, it's the country versus country stuff. And then kind of the upset that you get in Puerto Rico making a run and seeing some of these smaller countries trying to make it interesting. So I'm not sure if there was just one thing. I think the participation was a big part of it, and the media coverage was another.
CJ Nitkowski, Texas Rangers lead TV color analyst, talking with us here on Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. Before we jump into some specifics about the Rangers and what's coming up with them, one more question here. You know, we saw the Aaron Judge home run race last year brought a lot of positive attention to baseball. We're obviously sitting here talking about the World Baseball Classic. Forbes yesterday came out with the most valuable teams in 2023, and MLB team values are up about 12% across the league. You know, there's a lot of excitement about the Rangers with their acquisitions and things like that. Does it feel like to you, especially with some of the excitement about these rule changes too, does it feel to you like baseball, Major League Baseball, is in a healthier place in terms of fan engagement and interest than it's been in a really long time?
I think so, and I hope so, because we need it, right? We had the COVID season, the shortened season of just 60 games. We had the CBA and the lockout. Getting things started late last year. And it's nice to put all of that behind us, have a really big season from a guy like Judge, and then here locally what we're doing with the Rangers. It feels like this has been the biggest season. I guess this is year maybe 11 for me, I believe, you know, working in media. This does feel like it's the biggest one. Now, I think also the local tie-in with the Rangers has something to do with that as well. But I would agree. I feel like 2023 is the season that we have been waiting for. More teams engaged, I think, as well, right? You talk about some of the rule changes that we're going to see on the field, but also with that new CBA. And there's still going to be teams that are, you know, not trying, essentially, don't necessarily we're tanking, but not putting the resources behind their club. But I think we're seeing less of that. We're doing a pretty good job. Baseball hasn't been great about marketing their stars, but I think we're doing a better job of that. And there's a lot of really good young ones. I think that's part of it as well, guys like Julio Rodriguez and others that we're seeing start to emerge and become stars and show some personality, add to the excitement of what's going on with our game as well. So, you know, everything, when I say that, everything, most of the things have been relatively positive. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I think there's something special about this season. It feels like everything's going in the right direction. And if these rules play out the way that they hope that they do, we should have a more entertaining product.
One specific rule, the pitch clock. Is this something you're in favor of? And do you like the tweaks? You know, because they made the kind of the rule the other day where if pitcher's covering first, you don't start the next batter clock until, you know, he's back closer to the mound. What's your take on all this?
Yeah, so I do like them so far. I was a little bit concerned. I know that some of the guys necessarily didn't love them, but we know that they'll get used to them because they're not going to go away. Our first game that we had was on Monday on television, an hour and 54 minutes for a 2-0 game.
Wow.
I mean, that's absurd. You're talking about, you know, the Rangers a year ago in spring were averaging, I believe it was 3 hours and 11 minutes per game. That's about the game time during the regular season. Now, we're not going to see sub-2-hour games, you know, maybe one or two over the course of the year. But just the idea if we can even trim this thing down, and it's not just about game time, but if we can trim it down to, you know, 240, 245 even on the high end, it's more about the pace and the action. And last year we went nearly 4 minutes in between battered balls getting put in play. It's too slow. I mean, you guys watch it. I love the game. I watch it too, and there's times where I'm like, my goodness, we got to pick this up. And so I think forcing these guys to do that has been really good. Something that I'm hoping that they will tweak that I don't think they will. You know, they told us, I watched multiple presentations before we got to spring training about the rules and how they're going to play and making sure the broadcasters understood everything. And they said, listen, there's going to be a game that ends on a pitch clock violation. And we saw it early in spring training, and it's awful. Like, that, to me, can't happen, especially if it's an important game. I mean, can you imagine the Rangers having a shot to get to the postseason and Adolis Garcia gets called out with a tying run on second base and the game's over because he can get back in the box in time? Like, that should not happen. I'd love to see it go away in the ninth inning. I was using the example of what we saw at the very end of the WBC. They weren't playing under those rules. But the last two pitches when Shohei Ohtani struck out Mike Trout, there were 30 seconds in between each. The rule's 15. Right? But nobody would care because those are huge moments, and you wrapped up in that moment. And when you're watching on television, directors and producers and cameramen do such a great job of giving us the shots that bring those moments to life. We don't need it in the ninth inning. It's not going to change, and I probably just need to let it go. But I'd like to see it go away in the ninth inning. Other than that, it's been great. The pace has been really good, and I think fans are going to enjoy it.
Obviously, last season, a lot of money, a lot of capital invested for the Rangers in, you know, the middle infield and you know, trying to beef up the lineup. This year, a focus on the pitching, the rotation specifically. And, I mean, it's obviously just spring training, but it's still – pretty exciting. You look at the, you know, you just go ahead and look at the line scores from spring training. And when you see John Gray, Nathan Eovaldi, Jacob DeGrom, and it's like, well, they've combined for 27 innings and given up zero earned runs and struck out 24, walked four. It makes you feel good about the rotation. Your general thoughts about the rotation, and I guess specifically one thing that I'm excited about is what looks like a return to the normal velocity for Eovaldi, who it looks like has been hit like 99 after he had taken a dip the last couple of years.
Yeah, he finished the season healthy. Jacob DeGrom finished the season healthy. I think that is what we're seeing kind of carry over. So, yeah, we got some big numbers for these guys. Either one of those guys could pitch at the top of the rotation. It is really nice right now. This is something we've been waiting for a while. And if Jacob or Rizzi's hurt right now, he's dealing with some shoulder fatigue, but that's a sixth starter, an established big league starter who would be in the sixth spot right now. So the Rangers have depth. They also have depth from some of the younger pitchers that we saw last year that will be ready to go if a need arises during the year. Hopefully it doesn't. But this is a playoff-caliber rotation. You know, a healthy Jacob DeGrom is the best in the game, and we'll actually have him on Saturday tomorrow. That's our last television game here from Arizona. He's starting that game. So if you want to get your first look at Jacob DeGrom, that'll be tomorrow afternoon on Valley Sports Southwest. So it's exciting, man. This guy's so legit. But it's the depth. And so perhaps maybe it's some closer games, a little more pressure on the offense, and it's a good offense, but a little bit more pressure maybe on the bullpen as well here early on. But this is probably as good of a rotation as we have seen, at least on paper, assuming that Martin can kind of repeat what he did a year ago. I mean, he was incredible. Healthy John Gray, he might be the sleeper, quite honestly, in this rotation, him and Andrew Heaney, because we're talking about everybody else. Heaney did a really nice job with the Dodgers and kind of made some adjustments to his repertoire. So there's a lot to be excited about. This is legit. I know sometimes we get a little bit overexcited looking for optimism or looking for the reasons to be optimistic. They make it very easy with what's going on in this rotation this year.
So it's safe to say that you disagree that ESPN and ranked Jake DeGrom as like the 16th best pitcher in baseball.
Is that where they put him?
Yes.
Rankings are, we all do it, right? I do it in radio. You guys do it, I'm sure. You get people worked up a little bit. It creates phone calls and, it creates comments and hits and everything else. Listen, when healthy, he's right there. He's one or two in the game. Right? He'll be 35 years old this year. And he really, and again, Ranger fans will get a good look at him. He throws four pitches, but it's essentially two. I mean, it's fastball, slider, He's been at triple digits, and he does it so free and easy, and there's so much carry on that fastball, and you'll see it. He just dominates away to righties and to lefties, and he makes it look so easy. So, no, I would not agree with the fact that if somebody even put him where double digits when it came to ranking Jacob DeGrom.
Texas Rangers lead TV color analyst CJ Nitkowski, also the co-host of Loud Outs on MLB Network Radio on SiriusXM. You can follow him on Twitter at CJ Nitkowski. CJ, thank you so much, and give Sandler some noogies for us.
Oh, well, he left already, so I'm going to have to wait till I see him. It won't be until, yeah, he left early. I can't come. I've been here for 4 days, but he's put in some work here, so he probably deserves a little rest. But now I look forward to seeing him, and man, look forward to the year. Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate it, CJ. CJ Nitkowski. Coming up next, the KNC Masterpiece is on remote location today, as we've talked about. Let's see if Mike Bacsik remembered that he's supposed to lead Crosstalk. Yeah. Crosstalk with KNC Masterpiece next on The Fan.
All right, welcome in to the Crosstalk brought to you by Mike Bacsik. I've lost some sponsors, so if you'd like to this, I'd love it. That would be great.
That's a great shirt, Bobby.
Thank you. The YoMTV wraps. It's classic. Nice. I think I'm on a good run. I had the Kelly Kapowski on Wednesday. I had the Phi Slamma Jamma yesterday, and I've got YoMTV wraps today.
All right, guys. So as we start off the Mike Bacsik Crosstalk, I'm getting really excited. We're 6 days away from opening day. Is that what you'd say?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what Kevin says. I'm going to just trust Kevin that it's 6 days away. And we'll be at the ballpark on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Right now we're at Loop 9 Barbecue. That is in Grand Prairie. And, man, we are close to water slides. We are we are near a really cool area.
You all right?
You okay? It smells really good just walking up as well, Sean, as you might imagine.
Is Sean there today?
No.
No.
Well,
was he sad for you about Tennessee? Or?
He was supposed to be here, but then he said, I can't be in the studio. I got to go to Loop 9 to buy some cards from Mike.
Suck it for charity.
I didn't bring any cards.
Nobody damn responded. It. Nobody well, then Sean's going to go home.
They have burnt end queso here at Loop 9 Barbecue, which sounds like the best queso ever made.
It does. Let me know how it goes.
All right. So, RJ.
Are you not partaking?
I do not eat meat on Fridays during Lent. So
that's right. It is Friday.
Yeah, it is Friday. RJ, you're about to be off for the weekend.
RJ, you're still supporting your team. That's cool.
You know, I mean, it's the only shirt I had. So
do you go over to the women's side? Are they still in the tournament?
They are in the tournament. They're a 4 seed. They're playing the 1 seed today, Virginia Tech. I think it's today. Yeah.
Okay. Are you guys more excited about baseball starting next week? And my question is, because the Mavericks stink at basketball? If the Mavs were good at basketball, we would probably be looking forward to. Now, the Stars are good at hockey. So
yes.
I watched them for 5 minutes last night on ESPN, and they scored a goal against Pittsburgh. And then my son said, do you know any of the Stars' names? And I'm like, Ottinger guy's the goalie.
There you go.
Number four is good. Heiskanen.
Sergei Zubov.
And then I was like,
Don't confuse him.
Brendan Morrow. Roman Turek.
Jason Robertson. That's the guy. Remember, you got to know him.
Neil Broughton.
Jason Robertson of the Robertson family.
Stop naming off old Dallas Stars players. He's going to be like, no, Choppy told me. Neil Broughton and Darian Hatcher are still bringing the wood.
Big Roman Turek guy.
But the Bacsik Crosstalk question of the day is, are you more excited about baseball starting because we know that the Mavs have completely crashed and burned?
No, because I think I was already I think I was already maxed out on my Rangers excitement because of DeGrom and Eovaldi and the moves that they've made and seeing how the shift rules are going to be implemented and everything else. I was already as excited as I could be about it. I don't know that it's multiplied anymore because the Mavericks are going to finish 6 games below 500 and, you know, Mark Cuban's going to tell us that, you know, well, it's, I mean, we were right there.
You know, for me, it's, I mean, I'm excited because I like baseball more. I'm not a big fan of the NBA. The Mavericks could be undefeated and I'd be more excited about baseball season starting. That's just me. So like the moment the Rangers have their first game, you know, until the playoffs, I'll probably, you know, just periodically tune into a Mavs game if the Rangers aren't at the same time.
Would you rather, when it comes to baseball, we're going to stick with baseball here. Would you rather watch a great pitcher on television or stop down for a great hitter on television?
Well, it depends, because the at-bat is very short. So you can do that, right? You know, stop down for a pitcher, you've got to, I mean, you got to commit yourself to 2 hours.
I am more engaged. I'm more intrigued when there's like a dominant pitching performance going on than when, you know, the once every 45 minutes to an hour that a batter comes up. Like when the game that I always go to is like, and I mean, I know it won't be 45 minutes to an hour now. That's how long the games will be. But I always think back to just how excited I was for the Rangers to get off of offense in the divisional game that Cliff Lee was pitching against the Yankees. Like, I just wanted it to go back, and I just wanted to watch him dominate. Like, it was like, okay, great, get through the line. You can go three and out. I don't care. Get back to Cliff Lee. I want to see this. And so when a pitcher is really on and dominating, it's just – it's so exciting to watch.
Kevin, how much will you stop down for Jacob DeGrom starts, where you're just going to be like, I have to lock into every pitch he throws?
I really do think I will, especially seeing how the season unfolds. Because, like, let's just say you get 8 to 10 starts in there, and you're like, my God, this looks like a Cy Young possible run. I think you're going to be locked in, or I'm going to be locked into every single start from there.
Mike, I regret not getting to watch Scherzer's career. Like, not getting to see as much of him. And think about, like, Greg Maddux. We had TBS, right? So we could watch him.
Yeah, and or we, WGN
yeah,
before
so
that.
We could watch the Cubs and all that, too. But we didn't get to watch DeGrom. We got to hear about DeGrom up there. Yeah. So him being right here, that's going to change everything.
You know, it was tough, though, when you watch Maddux, even though you had TBS. The way it was back then, before HD, before the widescreen, half of his pitches didn't even stay on the screen.
Okay, RJ, I hope you listened to our interview when I called you one of our jerk co-hosts, and I said, it says that Smoltz and Pettit are better, and he goes, better at what? And so we said pitching, and then he's like, I mean, that's fine. You can have your opinion.
I want to say, for as bad as my – like Lamar Jackson as a running back bit is, I think Maddux was through nothing but balls and everything. Like, I think that's by far a worse troll take.
It's not a troll take. He never threw the ball over the plate.
All right, so hold on. So you're going to stand up for the guy who never won a Cy Young and did steroids over Greg Maddux?
Who are we talking about here?
Andy Pettit?
Oh, man. That was half of a joke with Pettit. I'm really talking about Smoltz.
Careful talking bad about Pettit. That's Derek Holland's hero.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, compared to Greg Maddux, he doesn't matter.
It's going to be Holland Wednesdays on the morning show for me.
I don't know. Bassick, one game in the playoffs. Who do you want on the mound?
Who am I choosing between?
Smoltz or Maddux?
I'd have to go back and look at numbers.
Greg
honestly,
Maddux was incredible in the World Series.
My first answer would be Greg Maddux, but I might be wrong about that. Just like, I think Verlander and Kershaw are great pitchers, two of the greatest pitchers, if not the two greatest pitchers of the last probably 15 years. But if you ask me who I want on the mound for a World Series, I go, crap, doesn't like Verlander struggle a lot? Like, I know it because it's in my brain right now because I'm watching Verlander pitch right now, and for some reason when the World Series happens, Verlander really struggles. And
man,
Kershaw, you could go back and look at his postseason numbers and go, gosh, I would pick Kershaw, but then the numbers might suggest to pick 5 or 7 other guys in this era for playoff baseball.
Listen to this. Listen to these numbers from Smoltz in the postseason. 15-4, 2.67 ERA in 41 games, and in 2 of his 4 losses, he only surrendered unearned runs.
2.67 ERA is incredible. Just as another note, Greg Maddux in the World Series, 2.09 ERA.
Greg Maddux. See, this is Greg's issue.
How do they only have one championship? When you just list those two numbers, Smoltz and Maddux, two numbers, how did they only win one World Series?
The Expos were too good.
They couldn't score. Maddux postseason, I hate looking at record for.
Are you about to say wins and losses? His ERA was 3.2.
Yeah, I don't like looking at, but his.
I mean, Smoltz's ERA was like 2.67 or something.
But Maddux was 11-14 in the playoffs
with a 3.2 ERA.
And I hate looking at win loss record for pitchers because it's such a terrible way to judge. But
I agree, my 10-13 is way off.
Well, I mean, no, but like, because you can have a
No, you know, I'm being sarcastic.
You know, their records, sorry, their ERAs, Maddux and Smoltz, is not that far apart. 2.67 to 3.2 is not that different. And and at the very least, it's not a difference of
11 and 14 versus 15 and 4, right?
Yeah, that's more circumstance.
I will say that if you just live, if we're talking about at their peak and not include like into the 2000s and stuff like that, we're just talking about 90s playoff pitching when Smoltz and Maddux were at the top. Smoltz's ERA in the playoffs was 2.77 and Maddux's was 2.39. And Maddux's opponent OPS was 6.13 and Smoltz's was 6.19.
You know what? Ray Mysterio. He never won games. He never won games.
I'll tell you what.
Maybe we just learned why they didn't win more World Series, because their offense has abandoned them at times.
After you guys interviewed Greg Maddux, you guys did a great job.
Thank you.
I went and looked up the Chicks Dig the Long Ball commercial on YouTube, because I was just like, I kind of forget that commercial because I'm like, it's Maddux and Glavine, right? And it was Maddux and Glavine who get upset with Mark McGwire because
steroids. Oh God.
Maybe. But the blonde-headed girl that was, like, on Melrose Place or whatever.
Jenny
Heather
Garth.
Locklear? Heather Locklear. She's in the commercial going, hey, Mark, you know, with another very hot female. And Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine. You got to go look it up. It's maybe the greatest baseball commercial. Because, like, what about us? Hey, Cy Young winners over here. And they kind of give each other a look, like, if Cy Young winners aren't going to work, then let's go practice our hitting because chicks dig the long ball.
Right.
So anyways, all right. So, Corey, what is coming up on our show from Loop 9 Barbecue in Grand Prairie?
Oh, my gosh. So many topics today.
You know that the whole show is going to be you guys scoreboarding me about the burnt ends queso and the brisket and everything like that.
There's going to be so much food discussion about all the meats here. Mm. We were hoping Tolos just come in droves, man. Drink, eat, be merry all day long.
This commercial is so funny when Maddux is throwing the ball up to Tom Glavine and he's just whiffing right there.
Soft toss. Yeah, they start off by they can't even hit a baseball.
Must have been Mets Glavine.
But yeah, power ranking the power rankings, man. We're doing it today. So are you ready, Mike?
Yeah, what are we power ranking?
Off.
God, Mike.
All right, guys.
Power ranking the meats. How about that?
Yeah.
Yes.
You can power rank the meats if you want.
Starting at 10:30, it's burnt in queso. Starting at 11, it's prime brisket, pork ribs, and pulled pork. Oh, my gosh.
Let's go.
Loop 9 Barbecue in Grand Prairie. Come see us. I am giving away a vintage G-Bag Nation ball sack hat today.
My goodness. I was not aware of
this. You guys have a great weekend. And coming up next, the KNC Masterpiece.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.